15 to 20 million jobs.
I am your future.
Isn't it about time for a change?
We're our national leaders.
AmericanWorkersRadio.com. You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome once again to another edition of American Workers Radio here on 860 AM, serving Philadelphia and the tri-state area and the entire world on the internet simply by going to AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on the Listen Live link. Well, we certainly had some rough weather here in the Philadelphia area. We had wind for 2 days, which was, wow, unbelievable. But we have also had some great events in the communities, and I'll be talking about them a little bit today, and I've been out and about. And as always, I ask that you go to your telephone so that we can share that information with more people and invite family and friends to tune in. But also, if you received our email this morning, send that email to someone else who would be interested to hear our message so that our listenership and our supporters continue to grow. Well, I want to first of all compliment our panel members, and they are Mark Andel, the founder of the Made in America store, Larkin Connolly, the East Coast Vice President of SCORE, Rich Logis, Principal of RJL Technology Integration, and our engineer, Henry Chaplinsky, and I'm Michael Blihash, always pleased to be with you. I'd first, before I go into some of the things that are on my mind, I'm going to ask some of you to tell me what is on your mind. So how is everything going with you, Mark?
Very good. How you doing, Mike? And, welcome Rich and Larkin and our listeners. And, of course, Henry, that makes our show happen. Mike, we've been doing good. It's cold up in Buffalo. We've got some snow. A lot of people don't like the snow. It helps us in our economy at General Welding. So we're moving some of them plows. We've been doing good. The demo and construction project for our new store is underway. We're very excited about that, and we just got all the demo done yesterday. So we're moving right along. It's a slower period, the first quarter, and our listeners probably know it's a slower period of the year for the retail side of the business. And Western New York and Buffalo, the economy's down. The oil industry, we're very affected with Mike. The oil, it's getting lower and lower at the pump, the gallon of gas, but it hurts the industry, and a lot of people don't tie them two together. But we really see a downturn in anything related to oil, being national fuel gas up here. Stocks have dropped. All the people we do business for on the oil rig, desilter, desander, and separators that we build are all down because the industry's down. So that really affects us, General Welding and Fabricating. And generally, I think the economy's down in whole, unfortunately. But, Mike, and that's something we can talk later. But, with the stores, everybody, Made in America matters. And it's, boy, does it shine in the tougher times.
And it's starting to become a bigger and bigger thing for people like us who are really concerned about the country, our future, and our families. There's a few things I want to mention today that I'm concerned about what has happened in the last few days. But first, I'm going to ask Larkin Connolly to give an update to us on his recent efforts.
Well, Michael, as you know, I was... good morning, everybody. I apologize for that. Rich and Mark, Henry, Michael, and all of our listeners. I was in Philadelphia most of last week with 25 of my closest friends having a regional meeting for SCORE, and I held that meeting, that very meeting, in Michael's building, and it went off very, very well. It was a great meeting. We got an awful lot accomplished, an awful lot discussed, and it was just a really, really successful meeting. I'm back home. I slept from Saturday or Friday night, I guess, until Sunday afternoon, which I guess was due for me. But I've missed all the politics. I woke up this morning to see Sarah Palin yelling Donald Trump's name at the top of her lungs, and something about kicking ISIS's ass, which I guess Donald is the only one capable of doing.
When I saw that, Larkin, I thought, oh, Lord, have mercy. Let's see what all this is going to do. I mean, they're rattling all the cages. It should be very interesting in the next couple of weeks. But, Larkin, I want to compliment Larkin because His group is absolutely outstanding. I had an opportunity to meet with them, even dine with them, and they were here at the Cultural Center. It was something very important, Larkin, for me to see and feel good about, because all these people were professionals, number one. They were here really concerned about helping people, mentoring people to go into business, letting them know the ins and outs of what to do. In fact, Mark, I met the gentleman from Up Your Way in New York, and we sat at dinner and we talked, and he told me how he got to your place there with Larkin and what a great and unbelievable person Mark Yandel is. I mean, we had quite a conversation. But Larkin, you should be congratulated. And it is, it's very exhausting to run these events and be available to the people. But I'll tell you, you had a lot of great people, a lot of great speakers. I was also happy that Alan Dom, our brand new councilman at large for Philadelphia, did stop by for a little bit. And of course, he had brought some of his assistants to be there, and he made some contacts with more of our local people that were part of your group. And by the way, Larkin's group, they came from Maryland, from New York, Connecticut. It was just a wonderful gathering. So congratulations, Mark Larkin, for a job well done.
And I'd like to say last year, Mike, with Larkin, I was kind enough to invite me down, and me and Rich and Larkin got together. What a neat group, and how much they bring to the table, people that have actually been there and lived through, you know, entrepreneurship. And Larkin, just a great group of people. And I know what you mean, Mike, when you're around them, because you got so many positive and people that have done and worked the field, and you can get so much experience out of
them. You know, a presidential candidate could learn more by coming to a meeting like this than they can with a lot of advisors who are just there to advise for the sake of being on the advisory council.
And Mike, I never knew of SCORE before Larkin and our radio friendship, and I wished I would have 20, 25 years ago. So Larkin, you know, hats off. And the more we get SCORE known for people, I always tell people you can call local rep, and I think it's outstanding. People don't even know that help is there.
That's it. That's right. And it's professional help, and it's help that really wants to talk with you, to get involved with your you know, plans. That's the main thing. When we were sitting there at dinner, I listened to everybody, and they were talking about different situations, you know, how people come in with this idea and that idea. And I thought, well, my Lord, this is exactly what we need. We don't have enough of those types of people running the government is part of the problem.
And you know, there are, I don't know, the number floats all over the place, but I think it's pretty safe to say there are 11,000 volunteers. There are 11,000 people involved at SCORE. 31 of them are paid staff in Herndon, Virginia, and the remainder are volunteers. What they do because they want to give back, because they want to get involved in the community, because they want to grow the economy, because they want to see a healthier environment. So you have to applaud them. I mean, I came from the for-profit world, and the first time I stood up in front of a group like this, I started to tell them, we're going to do this, and we're going to do that, and we're going to do this. And then I kind of realized these are volunteers. They're not going to do anything that they don't want to do.
Yeah.
So it's a unique dynamic, but they are such giving.
And Larkin, the thing I have to add to this is the sharing of ideas from professionals who've been in the field for some time, that made it come like a light going on in my head. We don't have this kind of gathering of people, whether it's local or state. It's all talk. It's all bull. It's all these crazy cheerleaders coming around and all. It's not where the people can walk away and say, I learned something and I'll be able to share it with someone. You had some great speakers too, and that means a lot. People from within your own ranks that got up,
yes,
and had a lot to say. And that means a lot when you're hearing from somebody who's also in the category of giving advice with the idea that they want to do good for people, not hurt them, make sure they know the path that they are on. So if anyone has ideas about going into business, I encourage you to click on Larkin's photo on the front page of American Workers Radio and get to talk to some of their local mentors and see, let them look at your business plan. They'll give you some frank ideas. And I think you'll be very benefited by dealing with SCORE.
And lucky Larkin's so young that he can handle all this.
And I'll tell you, he was quite a man. I'll tell you, he's quite a character to get up there and do all that. Larkin is quite
That's
a character.
That's off. Yeah.
So I know we're not supposed to pass along personal messages, but Mark, I am way overdue to discuss some involvement with the SBA and some of the things that you're doing. So now that I've got this annual meeting behind me, it's actually semi-annual meeting behind me, you'll be hearing from me sometime very, very soon.
Sounds good.
And Dr. Rich Loges, how are you doing down there in sunny Florida?
Good morning, guys. Larkin, Mark, to all you guys, Henry, our listeners. A little chilly, Michael. I mean, it's like 66 today.
Ooh.
Down here.
Well, you should have seen the Arctic wind. Henry and I were walking the other day, and I said to him, Mark is used to this. This to him is like springtime. The wind was unbelievable. It was 21 degrees, like early in the morning, and I thought, wow. So, Mark, you got to be given credit. So, Rich, tell us what is new with you.
Well, I want to just make a comment regarding SCORE and Larkin and Mark. As far as I'm concerned, as great a statement as I've ever heard, and there have been so many monumentally successful business owners and business figures over the course of our history in particular, but I still think one of Mark's statements is as great as any. And Mark, you know the one I'm talking about. What are business owners, how are they different? It's because we work 100 hours a week, so we don't have to work 40 hours a week. I mean, that's it, right? That's it. And, you know, and I won't presume, Larkin, to, you know, tell anyone at SCORE how to do these things. I saw that event in Orlando when Mark came, and I was, you know, I had an idea what to expect, and everything I saw exceeded way above and beyond my expectations. But, you know, if somebody... You know, Mark, if someone doesn't get that statement, then that person might not be ready yet to start
That's
a business.
That's very true. That's very, you know, very, very true.
I think so. You know, I really think so. I mean, when I started RJL, it was 8 years ago, and as I mentioned previously, you know, we've had 8 straight years of sales growth. We've increased our sales every single year we've been in business. If I'd gone to Larkin, my business plan would have been, I have my business meetings at places that start with an O apostrophe. You know, and that's just where that's where we had our business meetings. I did not have a business plan. And I'm not saying this, Larkin, to encourage people to not have a plan. I had a plan. It wasn't well thought out. And, you know, thankfully, I'm not going to say we got lucky because I think that's disrespectful to people who succeed in business. And I think business owners in general in the country are very, especially small business owners, I think they're really tired of hearing that they're lucky when they succeed. Business owners take financial risks, they make familial and personal sacrifices, and they're being tired of told that they're lottery winners and they're lucky. And those business owners may very well express that dissatisfaction in how they vote. I mean, we've got a bunch of primaries, guys, coming up, and I'm going to be working the polls for our general election and our primaries. And I think that business owners, if they show their dissatisfaction through how they vote, and business owners are go-getters, just as we know, you're right, Michael. You know, we've got the next 90 days, guys. It's not an exaggeration to say this. I don't think it is. The next 90 days will very likely determine the next 1 to 2 decades of America. How's that for history? I mean, how's that for living in historic times? This is how I see it.
I think you're 100% right. I don't think there's any question that this country is at a crossroads right now, and we've got maybe 3 different directions that we can go in, and 2 of them aren't so good. So let's just hope that the voting public understands what they're saying, what they're doing, and how they're casting their vote.
You're right. This is going to be very interesting in the next 2 months. You know what? In fact, as I go around to the different events, I'll mention one particular one a little later on. But everybody is asking me, why, Michael, is there such a concern about China's economy? How about concerns for America's economy? How about for our workers, for restoring jobs here in the USA? This is becoming a real issue with people as the recession continued and more people found themselves, no matter how skilled they were, out of the market. That was really starting to hurt them. And by the way, why aren't they spending at least 50% of every minute on these debates to tell us exactly what they're proposing to get millions of Americans back to work, to full-time jobs, not part-time jobs? They make, oh, the jobs went up, you know, and this and that. There's still 94 million people not in the workforce as per the Census Bureau and the labor statistics of the United States on the front page of the debt clock. So what are they cheering about? Why are they concerned about China and not our economy?
You know, Mike, I want to share this week, and Larkin, you'll appreciate this, and Rich, you know, being an entrepreneur, of course, I got General Welding and Fabricating and Made in America stores. Fourth quarter is real big for the Made in America stores and General Welding because we sell the plows and everything's the last fourth quarter of the year. But this year has been tough because the oil industry is down. We're losing, you know, that work that we had from our number one customer, and the snow didn't show up. So as an entrepreneur, an owner, family business, I had to make a hard decision to actually make a decision to not lay off. So we had to come up with a way how we could reduce payroll. And what's the fairest? The problem is with laying off, a lot of people don't grab. Them people might not come back. They don't know if they're going to have a job, but you've invested in them people, and they're trained, and they know your culture of your business. So the fairest way I came up with, next week we're going to start a four-day week at General Welding just to conserve some payroll, some cash flow to get through the tougher month of February. And Larkin and Rich, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Very, very difficult decisions, very tough times, but that's what an entrepreneur, that's what a business owner has to go through so that you can make it through these next months. And this economy is tough. I did not like when the president said it's the best economy we've seen in 7 years. It's just not true.
Oh, I almost fell off the seat.
Period.
I fell off the seat when I saw that. I thought to myself, can anybody tell me how many jobs were created as a result of business being enthused by that speech that he gave? Or how about the Democrats had their a debate on Sunday night, and the Republicans had it a few days before. How much business was generated? How many new people were enthused to get together with a place like Score or go to their local banks, say they want to invest in business? I really don't think anyone there was doing that because it was just all talk. We're like almost in an avalanche of talk, like in an avalanche of snow. Where is the look for prosperity in America?
Mike, I'd like to read front page, business section, Buffalo newspaper, winners, losers in 2015, and locally, publicly traded companies took their lumps. It was the worst, this is how it reads, it was the worst decline by the local stock since a 31% drop in 2008 during the depth of the Great Recession. The plunge in oil and natural gas prices was especially hard on a Batavia Business Graham Corporation, whose shares plunged 41%. National Fuels stock dropped 38.5%. These are facts on the front page of a Buffalo newspaper.
That's right.
And I'll tell you something. And it would really make me, and I don't mean to be partisan. I'm not being partisan. But it would make me feel better if our current president would quit trying so hard to win an Emmy by appearing on all these television programs, and he'd get back to the White House and get back to work.
Exactly.
I saw this YouTube thing where he's voting for one rapper or another rapper. I mean, come on, guys. really?
Yeah.
We're losing thousands of people a day over in Syria. They're not our citizens. I understand that. But we are the sheriffs of the world, whether we want to be or not. And we're deciding which rapper is better.
It, And Larkin, yeah. I think Rich says it best all the time. They're either concerned about a reality TV show or a football game, a hockey game. You know, come on, we've got some serious situations here. Who is the most qualified person running right now? I was going to ask Rich and Lark, who's the most qualified person that can run the country right now?
Okay, let's hear it. Rich, what would you say?
Just a quick comment on Larkin. Now, Larkin, I don't doubt that there are tryouts for the Emmys, but I think the president's also trying out for an award with the NWA. Now, you guys may not be aware of what the NWA is. The NWA is the National Weather Association, because the president is the highest paid weatherman in the history of the world. He's also the best bodyguarded. I've said this before. I mean, every time I turn on the TV, he's talking about the weather, right? Everywhere I turn, and then I realize something, that I might be mistaken about that, guys, because the highest paid weatherman ever might be Al Gore, not the president. I think it might be Al Gore. And you know what, guys, just as a quick side note here, I'm going to tell you this with a very heavy heart. It's been really a pleasure, me being on this show with you guys and getting to know you. But back on January 25th, 2006, Al Gore said that the Earth was going to reach the point of no return on January 25th, 2016. That's 5 days from now. I hope you guys have made peace with everyone, paid debt, and you're good to go.
It's 10 degrees in Buffalo.
Because in 120 hours, we go kapoof into the universe.
What is Al Gore, what is he doing now? I don't even know where he is.
Making millions, flying around the world on private jets, mining ore out of his private properties. See, the key with global warming, guys, is this. When it gets colder, it's global warming. When it gets hotter, it's global warming. You guys got that?
And when it's in between, what's that? What is that?
Well, when the weather stays the same, it's global warming also, Michael. Come on, you should know that.
Anything warm doesn't sell so well.
Mark, you asked the guy. Sorry, I just had it. I'm sorry if I scared anyone on air. They're thinking, like, well, what the hell is he going to do today? I know Logis is crazy, but he's taking it to the next level. Mark, to answer your question, you know, I always like to say, you know, qualifications and capabilities, right? Trying to find that balance between the both of them. We've got 90 days. We've got a third party who's declared recently, Gary Johnson from the Libertarian Party. Down here in Florida, Larkin, according to the polls I've read, and again, take polls with grains of salt, but currently as of today, Trump has a 33-point lead in Florida. Not 3 or 2. He has 32, Michael. 32-point lead right here in Florida. Trump is leading the next candidate, Ted Cruz, with a higher percentage than what Cruz himself has. And Marco Rubio and Heb Bush are hovering in the high single digits. And Florida, of course, as we know, very important state in terms of the primary, because it's a 99-delegate winner-take-all.
Yeah, so we have first. It's your first winner-take-all after about 9, not brokered ones, but when they come out of New Hampshire for the next 9 elections, a ton of people get votes. I mean, it's not winner-take-all. You get to Florida, that's where the rubber meets the road, because that's the first one since New Hampshire, I guess, where the winner takes all. And Florida is a huge state as far as delegates are concerned.
Florida's a biggie. You know, Florida's a biggie, Mark. We know this. And so amongst the major party candidates, if you ask me what my preferred general election is, I would tell you that I think the best general election is probably Trump or Cruz versus Sanders. Clinton has plummeted in certain primary states. There's a new report out that came out yesterday showing that on her unprotected, unsecured private server, there was data that's what's considered above top secret. There's actually something in intelligence called above top secret. Data that is above top secret made its way onto her server, which has just a little bit more protection than a router you'd buy at Best Buy.
It had drone locations, drone scheduling, all on it. Yeah, that was released this morning.
Really?
Yeah, I saw that and I thought to myself, oh my God, please. You know, guys, I was out the other day on Monday, the third Monday of every January, we honor Dr. Martin Luther King. And I, you know, he did a lot of great things during his time. But people were asking me at this event, people of all races, colors, creeds, were asking me, first of all, they were thanking us for promoting the Buy American Made campaign. We shared a lot of ideas. But they asked me, what do I think happened, you know, and what could happen to make things better in America? I said, well, let's focus on Dr. King himself. If he was with us here today, I'm sure he would be disappointed by the lack of leadership from, first of all, the African-American political leaders, sports figures, entertainers, teachers, and the African-American government leaders. What do you think about that, Larkin? I mean, are they up to, why don't they have a score situation for their people? A lot of, when I say that to the African-American people that I was there at the event with, they said, well, it's true. I mean, I said, these people who have the ability, athletes and sports figures and entertainers and teachers, why aren't they helping to uplift people out of poverty? Why aren't they talking about the unemployment rolls? Why aren't they donating to teach more children about jobs and job skills?
Well, I think that goes on, and I think a lot of it goes on not noticed by the motoring public. But, I will say this. The problem with America right now, the really deep-seated, deep-rooted problem with this country right now is the fact that we don't know how to solve our problems. All of a sudden, for the second year in a row, there aren't any African-American actors or actresses that are nominated for a main role. If you have nothing but fat, bald, white men voting, then you know that you're never going to correct that. And if you don't have the vote isn't released. In other words, when they vote, when you win a category, nobody ever knows, was it 2 votes close? Was it 20 votes close? There are a million different ways to resolve that problem. But instead, it just, all we want to do is spew a lot of discontent and a lot of, I hate to use the word hatred, but just a lot of boycotting. I mean, what's his name? The big actor is going to boycott the whole, Clooney is going to boycott everything. Well, he produced and directed 3 movies last year. Where was he?
Well, that's right. And you know what, Larkin, you brought up a good point. Why don't the general public know exactly how they vote? I mean, we know how we vote in America. It should be more open even than it is right now. And it should be opening to not only the Democrats and Republicans, but all levels of independence parties. But why doesn't the Academy open up and let people know, well, this is exactly why this happened? I heard this controversy all week. And yet no one has told me or you or anybody else how the Academy votes and why it came to where it was.
But don't you think that...
Why doesn't the country say nobody's voting? Nobody has an incentive to vote. Nobody thinks their vote counts. So all we do is criticize and lay the blame and talk about it, but nobody does anything to fix it. If you give every taxpaying American another $100 deduction off of his taxes, if he votes, you watch and see how many people go to the polls.
Good point. Well said. Oh, Larkin, so excellent.
That's a solution. We don't come up with solutions anymore in this country. All we do is polarize and yell at each other.
You know what, Larkin, that's a good point. And not only 100, how about 250? You know, give a deduction of 250 if you voted. I love that.
Exactly.
And they give you that little badge in Pennsylvania, I voted today. You know, you keep that in the house in case they ever audit you or something, that you have your little badge that you did vote. I love that idea.
Yeah. You know, how many people agree? You know, we all agree, I think, that Washington and the people in the high power leaders have lost connection with reality. I think me and Rich and Henry, you know, I mean, if you have a business right now, you live paycheck to paycheck. Otherwise, you know, we understand what people are going through. My workers are, I got a young couple, a guy that just had his firstborn baby. They're worried when you cut some payroll and that. They're worried how they're going to survive. I think that that's so lost when you're talking about movie actors and politicians in Washington. They do not get working paycheck to paycheck at all. And I think that's a major problem with what's going on in the country.
Well, I really believe myself, guys.
They're not there. They just don't understand it.
Well, you know what I really think, and we talked about this about 2 years ago. I think it should be a total citizen legislature where you go 4 or 6 times a year, maybe for weekends or whatever, and then you go back to a real job so you never lose the idea of what it takes to own a business or go to work or whatever. Because right now we're paying them to be sort of like just there, whether they do something or not. There's no preparation. I asked one elected official about 3 weeks ago. I said, do you feel that America has been living in a false economy, that the people are not getting the, you know, income and all that they can through an employment? He says, well, I don't know. I don't know. We have to look up a study on it. I thought to myself, well, there's a perfect study. You don't know what the regular person is going through without a job, or maybe a person that has to work 2 jobs. The other, last Sunday evening, I was to a, what they call a colenda, the end of the Christmas season concert here in Philadelphia at St. Adalbert Church. 1,000 people came out. It was absolutely beautiful. It featured the Goletz Orchestra from Poland, and I can't compliment the amount of people that stopped me to say that they listen on the radio or listen on the internet and appreciate all that we're doing 7 days a week during our regular broadcast. But one gentleman that I know, he's a young guy, and he said to me, well, after I graduated, I had a full-time job for about 5 years, and then the companies united, and we had to go to part-time and then maybe look for a second. So he said, 25 years ago, I had one full-time job. I was raising my young kids at that time. Everything was really great for me. He said, today, I'm working 2 part-time jobs during the week, and every second weekend, I go out again and work a job to support my family to the same way that I was able to do it years ago with one job. He also told me something very interesting, and I think we're going to have to get Dr. Sue on here, Rich, if you could make contact with him. He said, right now I have a very high deductible health care plan for him and his family, and he said, I wish I could do more to support your efforts, and I do tell people about the campaign. But there's just one instant you meet somebody who tells you that, and he's one of many, many people that I have a chance to meet in my travels. So the bottom line is, why did this happen in America? Why don't we have those full-time jobs? Why does somebody who had a full-time job, able to make a good living and support his family, now have to resort to 2 part-time jobs, pay his own health care, and have a third part-time job every second weekend? Why does he have to do that?
And Mike, let me just comment on, you know, as a business owner and my employees, one benefit, so health insurance, you hear about the Affordable Care Act and whatever, if you believe or don't believe, all I can tell you is I have an average plan, Blue Cross Blue Shield. It does not cover dental, and it costs me $15,400 a year that me and the employee share that burden. But that's per each, so I've never been helped. at this point, and we've got some good people on that. So very tough just to have a benefit people don't agree that we both pay quite a bit into. And that's not your main ones, payroll and inventory. I'm just talking about other expenses outside of the keep the lights on expenses.
General operating. You know, Larkin, we were at the dinner at the Mashulu with the SCORE group, and we were talking, and some of the people agree very much with me. I said we have to do more to tell people what it really costs to operate a business between the phone and the insurance and the healthcare and everything else that's part of operating the business before you can even make $1 profit.
Mike, I assembled a numbers team, which the government should. I have five people. We meet every week now, and we educate each other. I tell people most people can't run a lemonade stand even if the parents give them free lemonade. They don't have a clue. So we educate. And we raise, and some people don't like the brutal facts. We're factual, and people like Rich would say it's not sexy enough. But I'm the factual guy. This is what it takes. This is what you got to pay before you make a dollar, and then the government takes half of it in taxes.
And, you know, the national leaders and the local leaders and the state leaders, they really don't understand what the average American is going through because their weekly paycheck is guaranteed. Their health care is guaranteed. They don't even know what health care is all about, any concern. All they do is they get a new card once a year to tell them they're with this group or that group. They just get it through.
I'm jealous of that, Mike.
Yeah.
They have that comfort that they have that guarantee.
That's
Rich,
why
you would love to be guaranteed, right?
Oh, you better believe it. Rich would love it, and so would everybody else. But, you know, we have to start – you know, keeping this ball rolling. I'd like to get, if we can, Dr. Sue on one week, Walter Sue, so we could talk with him to see what is the latest going on. People ask me so much about the healthcare stuff, and I'm really not that educated on it, but every person gives me a different story of their situation, and I'm thinking to myself, why can't we have plan 1, 2, or 3? You either select one of them. Why do we have to have 25 plans? Drive the people crazy, drive the employers crazy. If the person doesn't have employee insurance, then he has to go on his own to play these games. There's too many people working in these systems, number one. That's what Dr. Sue said before. There's so many people in these systems that they need those monthly premiums just to pay those people to be there to keep this ball rolling down the aisle. But the main thing is, how are the people going to benefit? Bernie Sanders, Rich, was mentioning something about the single payer system for all.
Now, Sanders, I mean, you know, Michael, to Sanders' credit, he's been talking about single payer for quite a long time. And that's an issue, right, guys? We've talked about on air. We've had Walter Sue come on, and if you guys remember, me and Larkin were gonna have our discussion on air, and I kind of give a sneak attack to Larkin when I brought Dr. Sue on, and I think, Michael, that's it. You know, this issue as we have it now, you've got two main options for change as I see it on the table. Something that resembles a single payer and something that resembles what Larkin has brought up before, which is why is it that insurance companies can't compete over state lines like most commerce can? Why can't they? Why is it, Michael, that you're in Pennsylvania, you know, Mark, you're in New York, you have to buy from, what, two companies? You know, two companies in New York. You get, you know, Tweedledum and Tweedledumber, basically, as your choice. And to Trump's credit, this is one of the very first things that he brought up. I think it was in the very first debate, right? Donald Trump has a lot of employees that have health insurance through his companies. And he says, I get two bids because the whole damn thing is monopolized. Do I think, Larkin, that even that over the state lines competition could be an improvement upon what it is that we have? Absolutely. I absolutely think that. My concern with that, though, guys, is that you've got to then get 50 governors, right, and state legislatures to agree on this. And what happens with single payer is if it's done correctly, and this is where I don't think that Bernie Sanders is advised very well, actually, on this issue. I don't think his advice, because there's always,
the thing that is hard for Sanders to deflect is that he believes whether he's going to agree, you know, if he were on the air right now, he could agree with me or not, but it's the truth what I'm going to say. Sanders is of the belief that the more and more government you have in things, the better off you'll be. And that is just not a belief that is shared by the majority of Americans.
Right.
So you have to, you know, it's all in the presentation. Trump's issue is that he's not really a, you know, he's not a nuanced candidate. And the people whom I know who are Trump supporters will, almost all of them, guys, will say, you know, I like Bernie. There's certain things he says that I like. But I won't vote for him because I don't think that more government is the elixir to our ills. So the single payer issue, if done correctly, and Larkin, to get back to your point about us not fixing things, well, damn it, one of the great strengths, the greatest amongst all countries in the world, one of the things that we have been exceptional at over our history is fixing our flaws.
Mm-hmm.
And why did we get away with it? See, why did we move away from that?
You know, that's Rich, you're right. Here is something that's really important I wanted to mention. I was working on this week's commentary, and after talking with a few people and even the Score people, after 25 years, business owners and all of our investors in the USA found that outsourcing to foreign countries, let them do the hard work, was a great way to make more profits. And for years, that tactic really worked, that people were able to just, you know, go to the store, walk in, purchase whatever they want. The companies avoided employment costs, operational costs in America. However, there is something that's happening now. After 25, 28, 30 years of outsourcing, business owners are now seeing that without some level of manufacturing here in the USA, American workers lost their employment opportunities, but most important, their ability to earn money and then spend the money on the products that they wanted and needed. I mean, Mark, you would know that better than anybody. A guy who walks in your store may have a lot of ideas. I want to buy this, I want to buy that. But if your credit card is not able to accept any more purchases and you don't have cash in hand, you're not going to buy it no matter where it's made.
Yeah, and that, you know, you can talk about disposable income and, you know, gas prices down, and that helps. But in Buffalo, New York right now, with a 600-700 employees I know from three of my main manufacturers laid off in the oil industry, them people do not go out and shop extra now. They are trying to worry about the bills in the house because they don't have that confidence. You know, this year I want to raise more awareness, Mike, and guys, and I want to educate more on products and what we do. And when I say American, you know, creating and saving jobs with every purchase, that's what a consumer or a listener is doing today. And that's what I want politicians to say. Go out today, go out tomorrow, and buy Made in America products. Start today. It's a great start. You feel good about it. It's a quality product, and you are making a difference today.
And
you're
by the way, Mark,
family.
Mark, I want you to know I did have a few people tweet so that Andrea Mitchell would get that particular line that they should ask about go out and support American Made, and of course, no response. I mean, they may have received a tweet and said, oh, yeah, we're going to say that. But that is something that has to be said.
It works today.
Absolutely, because the loss of employment and spending power has really killed all levels of businesses, all levels. A person can't employ you just to be looking good in the office or the factory. They have to be making a profit in order to keep you on the job.
And, Mike, if I look at my 60-something employees I have and my General Welding and Made America stores, you know what I told them? Well, we got a little cash flow crunch going on. Go support. Make sure if you buy milk, buy it from our store. If you buy bread, buy it from our store. If you buy dog food, buy it from our store. You know, I keep the money in the company.
Circulate those dollars right in
your country.
Right. That's why I tell people, I beg people, circulate our dollars here in the USA. Keep our money at home. I mean, if they keep telling me, it's much cheaper to buy this and that. And then now people are telling me, and as I go in my travels, I'm really pleased, that store people tell me that people come in, they bitch and moan about everything. But when they see nothing more to choose from the shelf than an imported item, sometimes they would buy it because they need it. But now they're seeing a difference in the American people who are going out to purchase. Some people will walk away and buy nothing at all.
Yeah.
And that's very good. Thank you, everyone, that is doing that, because the job is to keep more money circulating right here in the USA.
But practice what you preach. You know, go out and buy what you can. You know, sometimes I think the wind from Washington is why they came up with the windmill project. And then the windmill project is great. The little red light on top actually is on when the windmill's not spinning. So I thought, why is that light on? If you investigate, you actually, they got to supply power up in Western New York here where the windmills are, because you need heat in the winter. They actually have to supply more power than it puts out. So it's not a great plan. The red light's always on when they're not spinning. They're supplying power to heat that. It's not a great plan, number one. So, I mean, there's a lot of issues with some of this alternate technology that it's got to work.
Very, absolutely.
Yeah, they got to heat the gearboxes in these up here. They spend way more money heating the gearbox in the windmill than they do produce. When there's wind, they only spend two.
Mark, I need to talk to you for 1 minute after the program. I have something to share with you. I want to just get your idea on it. But we are talking about issues. I'm so glad that we're talking about health care and job skills. And this year, our theme is support America's manufacturers, support our manufacturers. People are getting that message. More and more of the local elected officials are getting more in tune with what we're doing, because people that they are seeing in their travels are starting to say, well, why aren't you supporting American places of business? Why aren't you helping restore some companies in our area so that we don't have to travel 10 or 20 miles to a job? You know, I'm glad that these are starting to be discussed. It's 25 years past due, but at least it's being discussed. And I want to just mention one last thing. I want to thank every person that stopped me in the last few weeks to tell me they tune in and let me know exactly what they're doing. I want you to know that being a pain in the ass when you go out shopping is not that bad. It takes, you know, you get that frustration out of you. People tell me now, I tell those people, why aren't you selling a decent balance of American-made stuff? I like speaking up now. Well, guys, that, hearing your opinions, hearing what you have to say on a regular basis, has encouraged people to do that. Our goal this year is to grow that, to get more and more people on the bandwagon, so that when people in the purchasing departments hear that they'll actually take a look at the list of products available and seek out what's made in America yet, so that our companies can feel that they have a place at the table. One of the biggest things, I spoke to a guy in the Kmart. He said that they are starting to have less people buying a lot of the foreign stuff. People are just walking in. They look around. They shop around. But they don't buy a lot. We have a couple hundred Walmarts are closing because people are going in and they're buying what they need. Some of it's even food products and basics, clothing, socks, things like that. But they're not buying the discretionary items as they were. So a lot of the big stores that thought they were just going to continue with this, bring everything in from foreign countries and make a big profit, it's starting to wane. What do you think about the Walmarts and Kmarts and all that announced that they're downsizing?
You know, Mike, I want to comment on that. So you had, Walmart, Macy's, Gap. There's a few others in our area. GE out of Erie, PA, just cut 1,500 manufacturers that actually work on the locomotive engines. You know, I stay positive, but the factual stuff is out there. I call it face the brutal facts. So if I cut down to a four-day work week, and why you do that is to save 20% of your payroll, so you can make it through some cash tough times, which February is very tough. What would you think would happen if we asked the government to do that? Hey, next week we're going to cut 20% of your pay. What do you think? You see, they always got that guaranteed money. What do you think? Would they do it?
Heck no.
You know, they don't come up with a plan.
Well, Larkin, I think I'm going to ask Rich and Mark and yourself. If you could look, when did the national legislature become a full-time paid legislature? Because in the very beginning, the Congress and all met on occasion, not we're sitting there, you know, on a regular basis finding the reason they come up with so many laws so that they have something to do to occupy time and discuss things while they're there. Maybe there's too many laws on the books. Maybe America's being over-regulated, and it's killing us in the process. Maybe it's time for somebody to propose that we return to a citizen legislature where there are no pensions, and you are paid a certain amount of money, and you're expected to, you know, be there on say, a month, a year, spread out over the year, but be there to just pass the budget, discuss the budget, and that the real work behind the scenes, which would save a tremendous amount of money, is done by the staff people.
Michael, I'm just going to say, and I'm going to hearken back to what all of us have said, and Larkin said it recently, okay? The fact is, American Workers Radio is as great a place to start as any that I can think of, because we all understand here that and I don't want to speak for you guys, so if any of you disagree, please disagree. But I think it's our belief collectively here that the number one issue in this country is to get this country back to work. And Larkin, you said it. You start getting people back to work, you start creating opportunities, you start getting a chance where people have a little bit more disposable income, and maybe that entrepreneur within them starts to come to the forefront. Maybe that part-time business. Maybe score Larkin. Imagine the problem. What an awesome problem. If you had thousands of new people in the next couple years coming in saying, you know, Larkin, I'm looking to start a part-time business.
Rick,
I want to leave my job. I want to start a part-time business. Maybe make $500. I've always wanted to make this, do this, sell this, make whatever it is. You start doing that, you start watching stuff, guys, start to fall more into place. And it starts with that issue. The politicians and the media. And let's just be honest about this fact. Most of our lamestream media sides with the Democrats. So this is why they keep these Mickey Mouse issues all at the forefront about, you know, who's gay and not, and who's this and that, and all this crap, which on the national level is so irrelevant. And we get back to where people, I think, guys, I just got to tell you, it's again my thought, my observation. I think that people who have been asleep at the wheel for a long time, I think they're waking up.
You're right.
And if they're waking up, there's hope. And if they're waking up, these two parties are going to start to run for the hills. Because if in November, if the Democrats get their asses kicked, then what it does is all those voters then look at all the rhinos, like the McConnells and the Boehners and the Ryans, and they look at those guys and say, okay, guys, you're next. So people have to understand, Michael. And Larkin, this comes back to an issue you said before about not fixing stuff. Look, it's hard to fix stuff when the culture of dependency that exists in this country and has been cultivated for year after year, you've all watched it unfold before your eyes, when the culture of dependency, and I'm not just talking about financial dependency, when it's, oh, someone hurt my feelings, have a safe space. Oh, this guy, you know, his tummy hurts, you know, rub his tummy a little bit. It's hard to fix stuff when the culture of dependency and the victimization run rampant. It's really damn hard to fix things.
So you have people who are dependent upon dole-outs, who are dependent upon handouts. And instead of fixing that problem, you just give them more money.
Right.
And you keep them happy, and as long as they're happy, guess what? They keep on voting.
Yeah, so this became a culture of, you know, poverty in America became a business. That's what we were talking about on Monday. Martin Luther King, if you look at his signs on his march, every third sign was jobs, equal access to jobs, equal access to schools, job skills. Take a look on the internet, Martin Luther King March, and look at the signs for jobs. Where are those signs now? Where are all these people who've made it, the sports stars and the teachers and the actors and all? Where are they? Why aren't they in the forefront saying, well, this year we don't have that many up for the Oscars. We're going to show you how it's done. But next year we're going to really promote more people to go out and vote and see who we can bring into the nomination. It's not done. It's just complain, bitch, moan.
But Michael, this is why we have to continue to encourage people to let them know that how they spend and how they vote do influence things. We have to all stop, and I'm not saying I'm talking collectively here, right? Blame the government, blame this, blame history, blame that. All it is blame crap, all of it. What it does is it keeps people from just simply looking in the mirror and saying, do I know? I mean, most of the people, unfortunately, guys, we meet so many people. I meet so many people who are good people, but they don't know a damn thing that's going on. They don't know a damn thing. And that's the number one problem here, is that people don't know anything.
If you ever saw Waters World on Bill O'Reilly's show, it's pretty amazing. They ask the basic questions, and many people have no idea. They're born and educated in America, and you ask them about who was the second president, the first president, they have no idea.
And you know what's unfortunate, guys? Even though Mark Andel running a business is, I've got a great family, a great team, they almost believe me, but when they see it in a paper or on a news, whatever they see, they believe. So the power of that media, and if we could get the media talking about the correct things, I think I don't really care what party this year. I want a qualified leader, period.
And we are going to have a lot more to say on that in the next week or two. I'm asking all of you to send me your ideas, what you would like to see in the next president. I'm not worried about how they look, I want to know what plans they have, what they're willing to put in writing, not just talk. I've heard the last debate, and it almost made me sick to hear Hillary and Bernie arguing just back and forth over. None of them argued about jobs. None of them argued about job skills. And gentlemen, I hate to tell you, it's that time already. I just can't believe it. But I want to say this. I did not have an opportunity to acknowledge our sponsors. I want to say thank you to all of them. You will be acknowledged tomorrow, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Thank you for supporting American Workers Radio. We will have an email out today at the end of the broadcast. Spread the word. Yes, Larkin.
I want to make a formal announcement that yesterday at 4:02 p.m., the world was blessed with a young, bouncing baby boy. It is my fourth grandchild, and yes, get your bail money out because we now have an Larkin Patrick Connolly III.
Oh, boy.
Oh, my God, I love it. Congratulations, Larkin.
Congratulations.
God bless. Oh, Rich, Mark, Larkin, congratulations. Henry, thank you so much. We'll be looking forward to being with you next Wednesday at 11 until this Saturday at 11. I wish you and yours the very best. Remember to tune in tomorrow for Basha and also on Friday. And have a great one. Thanks for stopping me. Email me at michael@americanworkersradio.com. Thanks.
Hey, guys, listeners, keep believing.
Thanks, everyone.